I'm Duarte Geraldino, in for Tanzina Vega. You're listening to The Takeaway. Today, abortion makes its way back to the Supreme Court. Oral arguments begin in June Medical Services versus Russo, and the stakes are high for reproductive rights. The decision could impact abortion access across the USA. And at the center of this case is something called an admitting privileges law in Louisiana.
Admitting privilege laws require an abortion provider to have privileges or permission to admit a patient into a local hospital.
That's Ushma Upadhyay. She's an epidemiologist and associate professor at the University of California, San Francisco. And she says admitting privileges laws first popped up in the early 1980s and regained popularity about a decade ago. Supporters of these laws say they improve patient safety, but critics don't think so.
It was thought up of as a way to make it harder for providers, for physicians, to be able to offer abortion care for their patients.
Now, this case is almost identical to a Texas law the Supreme Court struck down 4 years ago. But since then, the Supreme Court has changed. Trump appointees Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh solidified a conservative majority on the bench. This is how Ushma explains what these admitting privileges laws mean for abortion providers and the patients they serve.
Admitting privileges laws sound like common sense, but what it really does is it actually ends up shuttering clinics. Providers often cannot obtain admitting privileges from their local hospital. Sometimes it's because of anti-abortion sentiment within the local hospital, or sometimes it's because to be able to obtain admitting privileges, abortion providers or any kind of provider needs to be able to admit a minimum number of patients. And the issue here is that abortion is so extremely safe that they're not able to achieve the minimum number of admissions to be able to get those hospital admitting privileges.
So that's the irony, because the techniques have been mastered so much that it's highly unlikely that if you go in for an abortion, you're going to need to be admitted. But because of that, it complicates the situation.
That's right. I've been doing research for almost 10 years on the safety of abortion. And in one of our studies, we looked at 55,000 abortions. And among those, less than a quarter of 1% actually resulted in a major complication. So abortion is so extremely safe. And these laws really are not based in any evidence that they are needed.
How does an abortion provider, or any doctor for that matter, get admitting privileges?
So they have to submit an application to the local hospital. The hospital board must review the application. They usually review the credentials of the provider. They look at the number of admissions that they've had or tried to refer to the hospital. Looking at all of that, all in all, they make their determination.
The Supreme Court struck down an almost identical admitting privileges law from Texas in 2016. Why are we seeing this Louisiana one before the court again?
The only thing that has changed since that decision is the makeup of the Supreme Court. The states are very similar. Louisiana actually has a lot fewer abortion facilities, so it actually is a more extreme situation and would actually be an even greater burden on Louisiana women because there are so few abortion clinics. Right now, there are three. And if this law were to pass, there would be only one clinic left. When people have to travel very extreme distances, it is an extreme burden on patients.
So should the Supreme Court actually uphold Louisiana's law? In the short and long term, how could this impact abortion access in that state and across the USA?
If this law is passed, it could signal to other states that abortion regulations are acceptable. And it could open the door to much more extreme measures in other states, not just regarding admitting privileges, other laws that regulate abortion out of practice.
Thank you so much. Ushma Upadhyay is an epidemiologist and associate professor at the University of California, San Francisco.
Thanks for having me.
Hear now from an abortion provider about what admitting privileges laws mean for her and her patients.
My name is Dr. Yashika Robinson. I am the medical director of Alabama Women's Center for Reproductive Alternatives in Huntsville, Alabama.
Her clinic is one of three left in Alabama that provide abortions.
As an abortion provider, I am one of the only providers in the state that has hospital admitting privileges.
Dr. Robinson explained why there are so few providers with this privilege in the state.
The constant attacks that we face as abortion care providers, it discourages other healthcare professionals from going into the field. My clinic has very hostile anti-abortion protesters outside the doors every single day. They target not only me, they target my staff and my patients, with their goal being to discourage patients from coming to my practice.
So you mentioned the social stigma that surrounds abortion in Alabama. Aside from that, are there any other major barriers to getting these admitting privileges?
There's real restrictions to abortion providers being able to get hospital admitting privileges. It's important to keep in mind that privileges is just that. It's a privilege. It's not our right. It doesn't have anything to do with the qualifications of the abortion provider. It's just the fact that hospitals have no incentive to grant an abortion provider privileges.
How did you slip through the cracks?
I wouldn't say that it's slipping through the cracks. I'm a very well-qualified physician. I've not had a problem with poor patient outcomes, haven't had a problem with patient complaints. I am trained as a surgeon and as an abortion provider. The only difference is that with me, I have a local patient population, and I'm one of the few people who is willing to deal with the day-to-day hostility of providing abortion care in the same community where I work. Many abortion providers travel in. And so when you think about hospital admitting privileges, you have to understand that hospitals can set arbitrary criteria in order for a physician to qualify. Those things being things like you have to live within 30 minutes of the hospital. For me as an OBGYN, they require that I have a certain amount of deliveries within a 24-month time frame. And another thing that is very important to keep in mind is that you also, for most every hospital, you have to have what's called a covering physician. That means another physician who is willing to support your application for admitting privileges to that hospital. That physician would be responsible for covering for your patients in the event that you were sick or if you had to leave town for something like a funeral. When I applied for privileges in the Huntsville area, I went through a list of about 45 to 50 OBGYNs. I could only find one person that was willing to stand up and say, I will be your backup or covering physician.
Some of your patients come from nearby states, right? They're not just Alabama.
Alabama Women's Center for Reproductive Alternatives serves patients from 5 states. We see patients from Georgia, Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Tennessee. Many of these patients travel to our areas because of TRAP laws, these targeted regulations against abortion providers that have forced providers in their area to no longer be able to provide the services that they need in their community.
What would an admitting privileges law mean for the patients with whom you work? How would it change that population's life?
An admitting privilege law would harm our patients dearly, because it would shut down clinics, and therefore patients would have less access to care. When you have fewer providers that are able to provide the care, patients have to travel further and further. So you can understand that there are going to be several patients that will not even be able to access the care that they need. We know that this is going to fall hardest on patients that are low income already, people of color, young patients, immigrant patients, people in rural communities, and these are people who are already facing so many barriers.
I imagine this takes an emotional toll on providers like yourself. How are you feeling as the Supreme Court prepares to revisit this issue?
You know, as an abortion provider, you often feel isolated and feel ostracized, but it's the passion that we have for our patients and the knowledge that we have knowing how important these services are that pushes us and forces us to get up every single day, to go to these legislative hearings, to travel where we need to travel, to get to the patients who need us.
Dr. Yashika Robinson is the medical director of Alabama Women's Center for Reproductive Alternatives. Yashika, thank you for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.